for talking food.
So you're hungry. I'm hungry. We're all hungry. And we all know that food prices are rising. And as I alluded to earlier in the hour, how do you take the pulse of food price rises throughout the world? Well, the BBC World Service has embarked upon a global experiment to see if we can find an economic indicator that would be relevant to consumers all over the world. They've been trying to see how much consumers were being affected in places all over the world. Every week, reporters from 8 cities visit the same store buying the exact same items to compare how the price of food fluctuates over time. Richard Collings is the editor of the BBC's business programs and set up the World Service Food Price Index Project and joins us on the line from London. Richard, thanks for being with us.
Good morning, John and Adora. How are you?
We're great. We're doing great. And actually, you know, we're actually getting a little hungry talking to you about this. How did you choose the places, and how can we be sure that something like this is actually a valid measure of the global experience of food price rises?
Well, how we chose the places, really we were looking for different cities across the world so that people could say afterwards this is really representative of the whole world. So we've got cities like Delhi, Jakarta being in Indonesia, Washington DC, Buenos Aires in South America, Brussels in Europe, Nairobi in Africa. So it really is a truly global index. Now, the problem's been in the past that lots of governments around the world release official figures of food prices, but these take about 3 or 4 months to filter through. So, say, if you're waiting for the US government or the British government to release these figures, it's going to take some time before you actually see what they think the measure of prices is. In the meantime, people are saying, hang on, the price of food has gone up this morning. I'm paying more for my milk. I'm paying more for my bread. And so we thought the best thing to do would be to tap into the BBC's reporters around the world and get them to visit the same store, the same grocery store every week, every Monday, in fact, and go in like a secret shopper, really, so they don't announce that they're coming from the BBC, just in case somebody there puts something on special offer to show that the price has gone down. What we do, we go in a secretive manner and just sort of take a note of the price, the same milk each week, the same beef each week, the same number of eggs each week.
Well, Richard, how do you account for the, you know, disparities in diet around the world? I mean, some cuisines are rice-based, some are wheat-based, corn-based. There's different levels of meat in diets, and depending on where you are in the world, how do you account for that?
That's right. Well, we started off thinking, shall we compare like with like? And as you quite rightly point out, that would be impossible because the US diet is completely different to the diet in India, for example. So for the United States, we chose bread, milk, potatoes, beef and eggs. But in places like Africa, we were local advice. People there told us that maize flour is a real staple in the diet. So they're different products in different cities around the world. But basically, we started off by taking these five staple products in every country, and we started the index off at the same base figure. I won't go into the complications about how it's calculated.
But you mathematically come up with a beginning point and then begin
exactly
to have a comparison. So how many data points do you have at this point?
Well, we have five because it's been running for 5 weeks, and the beginning point was the number 100. So if you go back to sometime in the middle of July and say you look at food prices in Nairobi, that's in Kenya in Africa, started off at 100, and they've slowly risen there, and the basket of foods there that we're measuring has slowly risen to about 105. So there's obviously been some inflation there. In the US, it stayed pretty much constant. Now, there are sort of fluctuations week on week in different products. There was a big price rise in the in milk a few weeks ago.
But you're really just talking about the last 5 weeks. It's not like, say, the past year.
No, but you've got to start somewhere. So
I just wanted to be clear, because I think that so many people who are listening, like myself, know that when you go into the grocery store, you feel like you're paying a lot more for, say, eggs than you did a year ago, but not necessarily
exactly
5 weeks ago. 5 weeks ago comparison.
No, what this has thrown up is, as I say, you know, like the price of milk has risen over the last 5 weeks in the US, and over the past year, in fact, when you look at some other official figures, apparently in the US, consumers have been paying about 5% more for their food year on year.
You know, let's look at that 100 to 105 number that you described for Nairobi, is it?
That's right, for Nairobi in Kenya.
Now, does that represent a 5% increase in just 5 weeks?
It does, I'm afraid.
Wow,
yeah,
that actually annualized is pretty terrifying.
It is, and you know, some of these countries that we're measuring are the poorest of the poor, and we've had riots over the last few weeks in places like Indonesia because the government there is saying it's cutting back its subsidy not only on gasoline but also on food. So you know, staple food like rice would have been heavily subsidized by the government there. The government is slowly cutting back on this subsidy, so the price is rising in the shops, and we've seen some quite sort of violent protests on the streets. And I mean, you've got to remember, in a place like India about 8 years ago, the entire government was brought down,
right,
because the price of vegetables,
sure,
rose. And so this is something, you know, that people really do sort of take to their hearts, not just in the developing world, but as we know, in the more developed world as well.
Well, Richard, we want to keep with you on this and check in from time to time. How long do you plan to continue with this? And what sorts of statistics would we be comparing your food price measures to?
Well, we hope to keep on going as long as we can, really. I mean, when we first thought about this, we thought, where can we get this data from? And as it wasn't available anywhere, and we thought the most accurate way of doing it is to send our reporters out to the shops. And so that measure, I think, is the really important thing to remember here. These are real prices which real people have to pay in the shops. These aren't government figures. And so, you know, they will affect your listeners, the rest of the BBC's listeners, everyone around the world in that sense.
And perhaps we'll have the impact of keeping some of these governments honest about the rise in food prices, which, as you point out, is a very politically sensitive issue. Richard Collings, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks very much.
Richard Collings is the editor of BBC's business programs. He joined us from Bush House in London. Very, very interesting
economic indicator. Yeah, there. And looking forward to see what he has to say next month. But for now, today on The Takeaway, the Democratic National Convention, and the latest from Denver, and a look at the gulf between the haves and the have-nots in the industrial metropolis, communities like New York and Denver.
We keep hearing about the price of food, and we were just talking about it there. We want to know what you've noticed in your own supermarket. Are you charging or changing what you eat? How about what your family eats? Tell us what you think at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
My name is Tyrone, and I'm from Baltimore, Maryland, and food prices have gone through the roof. Junk food is like the best thing to eat only because it's cheap, but the food you need to buy, like the corn, the fruits and vegetables and meats, they have shot up like crazy. Bread went from $1.39 in 1996 to $2.59 to right now. That's too much. Way too much.
And here's your takeaway for today.
Well, I think they looked to see how the West was reacting and decided that we weren't reacting, and we've seen our ally dismembered before our eyes.
Edward Lucas talking about the new Cold War. It's The Takeaway.
I'm Adora Udoji.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.